Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comments, your dialogue and discussion. We'll be talking about today a very serious issue. It is of national urgency, I believe, that you hear this broadcast today. Pick up the telephone and call a friend, relative, or neighbor and tell them to tune in and join us in this dialogue and discussion today. We're talking about seeing America through the eyes of our founding fathers. Seeing America through the eyes of our founding fathers. When we say that, we must ask the question, how would our founding fathers view America today? How would they view where we are and what we're doing in the fast track that we're on for socialism, Marxism, communism, being promulgated and pressed by the Biden administration and all of those in his satellite orbit with what they're wanting to do to America? How would our founding fathers view that in view of the fact that they surrendered their lives and their fortunes so that we could have a free nation today? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the Scripture, the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the Bible. You recall some of you growing up in Sunday school and some of the programs in our churches singing that old song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. And that's what I recommend highly today. It is the source book for truth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's a statement Jesus himself made to his disciples, John 8:31-32. But in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And then in John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be the major mantra in our hearts and lives. Now I understand and realize that the secularist George Orwell, in the writing of his dystopian fiction novel titled 1984, it was Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's, I believe, where we are today. We're to the point today where if you speak the truth, even speaking the truth in love, as we're directed to in the Scripture, even in doing so, you'll have those that are vile and vicious and will absolutely be troubled because of hearing the truth. And therefore, there will be the demonization and the dissing, as it is called today, of those that speak the truth. But I go back to the 15th century church reformer and theologian, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast is designed for telling the truth, defending the truth, even to death. And may I suggest that that should be the mantra, the heart and the life of each and every one under the sound of my voice today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck in a little brief announcement before we go further. Next week, the 15th through the 19th, that's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're going to have a mini-master. That's M-I-N-I, mini-mester. Rather than calling it a semester, it's a mini-mester. And that's for 4 nights, 2 hours each evening. And we will have a mini-mester on the subject of music theory. Music theory. And it's sponsored by Conservative Theological University. And it's right here on campus. You can dial 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE and register by calling in, allowing someone to call you back and get your registration. It introduces basic Christian music. It is for the appreciation of church music. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mini Master will cover basic music concepts, the tone intervals. It will cover scale and the basic chord harmony. It will cover rhythm principles, and it's open to anyone that's interested in learning the introductory theory of church music, music that is honoring to the Lord, not jazz, not rock and roll, but church music, gospel music, music that will honor the Lord in your churches. If you're in any place of leadership, or if you simply are seated in the pew but wanting to know more about gospel music, this mini-mister, Introduction to Music Theory, is for you. Dial 1-800-GO-BIBLE and have someone to call you back and get you registered now. It's for next week. It's the 15th, 16th, and 18th, and 19th. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about landscape and lawn care equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the wonderful, beautiful 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flagpole at the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Brother Dan Ort. Brother Dan Ort is fastly on the fast track of trying to help in reclaiming America. And we're going to be talking in a moment about that very fact, but we're going to do so from a little unusual vantage point, as I would call it. Most of the time when we think about what's happening in America, we think about what's happening today. We think about what we're faced with today with the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party trying to lead us into total communism. And I've been saying socialism for years and years, but we're on the fast track now, on the high side of the mountain, on the slippery slope, standing on a banana peel, about to go into total inundation of communism. Keep in mind, socialism is communism light. Communism is Marxism, Leninism, Maoism, all rolled into one that's simply called communism. And that's what we're on the fast track for. But ladies and gentlemen, America has been called, as I've called it for many, many years, and you've heard the term, the land of the free and the home of the brave. But I believe perhaps we can best say the land of the free because of the brave. The land of the free because of the brave. Yes, because of the brave men, ladies and gentlemen, known as our founding fathers. And perhaps you already know some of the words in the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. Perhaps you know those words, and yet you have forgotten them. Let me just take a moment and give you some of the words to that. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governors. And then, ladies and gentlemen, those 56 men that signed that Declaration of Independence did so and made this statement. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Have you heard those words before? Did you know that? That's what we stand on today. We stand on the shoulders of our founding fathers that gave us a land of the free because of the brave, because of standing, willing to lose, willing to give, willing to surrender, as they used the term, willing to pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm passionate about that issue. Because what we see today is the waving of the white flag and the surrendering of those documents that are so near and dear, that were God-inspired by men of renown that were willing to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, that we might have what we have today. The statement they made, let me read it again. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. So, ladies and gentlemen, just what happened to these 56 men? I believe we need to have a little lesson, civics, I believe they're calling it today, but I believe it's just a little lesson on history. I believe we need to go back, Brother Dan, and let our listeners understand what took place. What happened to these 56 men? Just exactly how did they carry out their pledge to each other? What took place? Let me just give you a little skinny on that, ladies and gentlemen. Be slightly elongated in this continuing monologue before Dan and I start speaking about it. But I believe you need to have the stage set. I believe you need to understand what we have today that we have held so loosely and are willing to so freely surrender to the tyrannical form of government that is now in D.C. Five of the signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, they signed and pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. So what kind of men were these? You've heard all kinds of razzle-dazzle by the modern watered-down rewriting of U.S. history. Many of them said these men were not saved. Many of them said that these men were not moral ethicists. Many of these said that these men were not godly men. Some of the ungodly, unholy rewriting of American history today would have you to believe that these were simply a bunch of hoodlums that owned slaves and they were worthless men. That's simply not what is true history, ladies and gentlemen. 24 of these men were lawyers and jurists. 11 were businessmen, merchants, they were called in that day. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means and well-educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well the penalty would be death if they were captured by the British. And they did so, ladies and gentlemen, for us to have the freedom that we have today. And yet, what are we having today? Silence from the pulpit, silence from the masses, silence from those that ought to be standing and saying something in relationship to it. But ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I, for one, believe it's time, as Christians and conservatives, if you're listening today and you say, Pastor, I'm saved, then I believe it's time we recognize that we need to speak up, stand up, not be silent any longer, and do something. Now, I'm not talking about going out in a fashion as some would think that I'm speaking of. I'm not talking about going out on the streets, brandishing weapons, and trying to shoot everybody's ass. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But I'm talking about taking the freedoms that we have, the liberties that we still maintain, and doing something rather than being silent. In fact, in Isaiah 58, verse 1, the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. Ladies and gentlemen, that's called a watchman on the wall. That's called speaking up and warning of the dangers ahead. And I believe we need to do that today, ladies and gentlemen. I believe it's time that we do so. One of the signers of the Declaration, Carter Braxton, he was out of Virginia, a wealthy planter, trader, saw his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. He had to sell his home, all that he owned, simply to pay his debts, and he ultimately died in rags. That's one of the signers, ladies and gentlemen, that lived up to his commitment. Thomas McKeon was hounded by the British that he was forced to constantly move his family. He served in Congress without pay. Dan, that's something that's refreshing, isn't it? Yeah. Served in Congress without pay. Kept his family in hiding. His possessions were all taken away. Poverty was his reward for signing the Declaration of Independence. Vandals or soldiers or both looted the properties of all of those that were left behind. Ellerly and Clymer and Hall and Walton and Gwinnett and Hayward and Rutledge and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that his British general Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson home for the headquarters. The owner, Thomas Nelson Jr., quietly urged Governor or General George Washington to open fire. The history has it and tells us the Nelson home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on. We'll talk about some of these others further in our broadcast today. But I want to set the stage on the importance of our founding documents. And what we have as a result. And yet pastors are silent. Christians are silent. Churches are silent. Men of renown that could have their voices heard are silent. Dan, I know that you have a passion, as I do, on this, but did those founding fathers risk and lose all that they lost for nothing?
Well, first off, there's no sombering words than you've just spoken. And I challenge all those hearing your voice today to reach deep into their souls. Look at their children. Look at their grandchildren. Ask, what if America falls? What happens to them?
Right.
Can they live with themselves knowing that they had a chance to stand? Mm-hmm. Whether they're victorious or not, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
It's the matter that they took the chance and stood for righteousness in Christ again. Our founding fathers did it for what reason? For themselves?
No.
History proves they lost it all.
Right.
Are we willing to risk losing it all? Because whether you know it or not, they're going to take it all.
That's right.
You're not going to have anything if they win.
That's right.
Now, I look at it this way. I found something in my search for truth called the Patriot's Bible. I mentioned it on our last visit together. The author, Dr. Richard G. Lee.
Yes.
If you have children at home, which you do because they can't go to school, get a copy of this Bible. Let them learn the history of the United States of America.
Woven into the scripture.
Yes. Let them know the founding fathers' vision of freedom and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, the freedom of speech, and the freedom to live a godly life.
Yes.
Let them learn it. Let them vision it and let them seek after it.
Yes. In fact, Dan, I believe we could kind of summarize the goal, the purpose, the reason, the rationale behind these 56 men risking it all was what we could summarize for the freedom of speech, the freedom of worship, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of self-government, the freedom of self-defense. I believe that summarizes their passion and what they were after.
And it gives a clear vision of their intent.
Yes.
It wasn't greed like today.
That's right.
Wasn't corruption like today. When they are literally in Congress speaking about being able to judge what is going to be called treasonous speech.
Mm-hmm.
The truth becomes a treasonous word.
Yes.
And they want to be able one day in the near future to go throughout this country and collect all who speak the truth.
And reprogram us, reeducate us.
And if they cannot succeed in that reeducation, what's next?
Then absolutely banishment, total destruction.
Right. Elimination.
Elimination.
Years back, they said when the New World Order comes in, they would have to eliminate 25 million Americans to make it happen. They updated that a few years back to say 50 million.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have, 330 million?
About 330, 325,
okay.
330
million. People are saying, oh, that could never happen.
Mm-hmm.
How many did Mao kill of his own citizens? Stalin?
Millions.
Hitler?
Millions.
Millions.
Right.
Do they think history won't repeat itself because we don't recognize it?
We're on the fast track for the repeating of it.
That's right. And our founding fathers warned us, didn't they?
Yes.
In their writings.
Absolutely.
And documents.
Here's one of the founding fathers. Francis Lewis had his home and his properties destroyed. The enemy jailed him and his wife. She died within a few months of being put in jail. John Hart was one of the signers, was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children, the history tells us, fled for their lives. His fields and his grits mills were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in the forest and the caves, returning home to find his wife dead and all of his children vanished. Mm-hmm. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion and a broken heart, the writers of history tell us. Norris and Livingston experienced similar fates as a reason because they had signed the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what our founding fathers gave us. We're talking about today seeing America through the eyes of our founding fathers. Dan, I don't know that it's possible today, as much as our passion is for it. I don't know if it's possible for Americans to see what we have through the eyes of our founding fathers. What was the method of getting the word out, the message out to the colonists of that day? From history, what does it say, and what is the method? And then in looking at their methodology, how does that mirror what we're doing today and what we should do today?
Well, I look at it in 5 points. First off, I believe they spoke through the pulpit. And the reason I believe it, I once again in the Patriots Bible, indicative of the Spirit, in 1975, the Lutheran pastor, John Peter Grable Mellenberg, preached a sermon on Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Concluding the message, he declared, in the language of the Holy Rite, there is a time for all things. There is a time to preach and a time to fight. And now is the time to fight. He then threw off his clerical robes and revealed the uniform of a Revolutionary Army officer. That afternoon, he headed 300 men. He marched off to join George Washington's troops and became colonel of the 8th Virginia Regiment. Ministers turned the colony resistance into a religious cause and served at every level in the conflict, from military chaplains to members of the state legislatures to taking up arms and leading troops into battle. And ultimately, after two main British armies were captured by the Continental Army at Saratoga in 1777 and Yorktown in 1781, the other words of Patrick Henry to his fellow Virginians proved true. 3 millions of people armed with the holy cause of liberty, and in such a country as that which we possess, are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us.
And Dan, one of the things that is fascinating about Mullenberg, his brother was also a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
His brother laughed at Mullenberg, chided him for being involved in, quote, the political movement right. of his day, and believed that the preachers ought not to do that. Go back and study the history. What happened? His brother's church was burned by the British. All of a sudden, he realized what his brother Peter Mullenberg had done was the right course of action.
Passiveness is not the answer.
Passiveness is not the answer. And yet, what does that say? It should speak volumes, ladies and gentlemen, today, because multitudes have the philosophy that I'm not going to get involved. Mm-hmm. Let me just use an illustration, because there's a book called Politics According to the Bible. Mm-hmm. Very well written. theologically sound from the standpoint of Scripture and how we ought to be involved. But in that book, Dr. John MacArthur said that America ought not to exist because it existed as a result of civil disobedience against the government. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's do a full circle. Today, Dr. MacArthur's church is under fire. There's an attempt to force to close the churches in America. He's been locked in battle for now almost a year because he wants to open the church. And he's tried to open, and he's done so. But now he says we ought, to his words, we ought to obey Christ and not Caesar. He's taken the exact stand that our founding fathers took when they determined, with the 33 charges they filed against the king, they determined that it was time to form a government so that there could be freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom of assembly, freedom of self-government, and freedom of self-defense. And we have America today, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that. And these 56 men, Dan, if we could use the little illustration, if they could just be looking down from heaven today and see what's happening, what would your thoughts be that they would be thinking or seeing?
Well, I'd like to finish at one point, and then we'll go to that. They use town hall meetings. Where was Trump the most victorious? Was when he was with the people in town hall meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They used horseback from town to town. They didn't have internet. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have computers.
Well, it's because they tried to introduce green energy, and green energy didn't work, so they had to use horses.
Well, it was a struggle to do it by horseback. It was a struggle. They also person to person.
Right.
They were scarfed at. They were talked down to. They were told that they shouldn't be doing what they were doing, but yet they broke through the barrier through truth. They also used the printing of underground papers and materials, all of this while trying not to get caught and by the British, not to be found out. But I think the most important thing that they were seeking was the fact that they wanted the freedom of speech, which we are using, to be able to assemble without fear, which the church wants to use, and which political parties want to use, and to worship as they desire, and the God that they desire.
Yes.
All of that said, what would they see today? They would see their entire vision being destroyed.
Yes.
They would see a total waste of all that they went through. They would see, the millions of lives and an untold amount of blood shed across this world for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They would see the America that was once number one collapse.
Mm-hmm.
They were proud at one point, I think, with their creation.
Yes.
And their success and their victory. Because they had the vision of what it could become.
Yes.
Well, guess what? Use it or lose it. And America never used its religious wealth.
Absolutely.
God, country, family.
God, country, family. One of the things, too, Dan, right now with Joe Biden, most may not be aware of this. When asked about the Bill of Rights, asked about the freedom of speech and what he was doing, and its onerous effect on the Bill of Rights, Joe Biden said there's nothing in the Bill of Rights that is poured in concrete or is in stone that cannot be changed.
Yes.
And so as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching it being eviscerated. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news. Right after the news, we'll come back and we'll continue our thought and our conversation today as we talk about seeing America through the eyes of our founding fathers. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.